namada purnamidam purnapurnamudachyate purnasya purnamadaya purnamavashishyate. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnapurnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate Om Purnamada Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Shanti Om Shanti Shanti Om Shanti Shanti
They'll be back next week. That's right. So, there we are. Thank you, Peter and Neelam. We still had sound problems. I don't know if that was true for all, but... It was true for Teruta Sacha. But we really appreciate your contribution. Om Shri Satche Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. Paramatma Ki Jai. Gurudev Bhagwan Ki Jai. Sacha Sangha Ki Jai. I have brought nothing in terms of a of an introduction or a conversation to satsang today. So I will wait for you. Max, I knew you were going to start the satsang. Mm-hmm. Yes. Go ahead, Max, please.
Namaste, Shantimai.
Namaste, Max.
I would like to talk about the Sasha lineage, since when I was in Teresacha, and then I brought this beautiful book on Maharaji and the Dawn of a New Consciousness back home. And I've been reading it, and both during my stay and then in reading that book, I got a feeling of the connection that is really going beyond our connection to the whole lineage. And I was very much touched to see that the main intention behind the whole lineage is so similar to what I felt in my own life, what was the reason to be, really to make a difference and to contribute in ways for a way of human beings to be together and with nature. I learned later that is supporting all of life. And so, it really touches me. And I also felt a connection building to Maharaji in the time. And I feel very much supported by that.
Yes, that makes sense. Makes good sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I say if we're of the Bodhisattva way, not the Buddhist way, but all of the masters have been in a line with the mission. I'm not real fond of that term mission, but it applies, the mission of the Sacha lineage, and that is to encourage and live by those qualities that you want to see the world change for the better, for each other, for the realization of God consciousness, so to speak. Or,
Yeah, and it seems like pretty much most of my life I had that inner vision, and I felt it take form in different ways, but always after a while pursuing a certain form, it felt like, no, that's not the depth of it. Something's missing. And so, yeah, it's now that I feel I've...
Nothing's ever missing.
Yes, but now I see it.
Yeah, that's good. Because you don't have to think about it ever again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Adhikari?
Namaste, Shantimai.
Namaste, Adhikari. How are you?
Good. Good. Yeah. I'm so good. I can't even express the gratitude for how these satsangs inspire me every week. It's church to me. It's church every Sunday. But particularly,
I would prefer it wasn't church, but okay.
Anyway, particularly in seeing, and it's hard for me to say this without crying, that everybody has the beautiful heart. It's just that, believing in ideas, acting on those ideas, identifying with them clouds it. It just gets clearer and clearer. And it's not that I don't see people's actions or even get a little bit saddened or, in fact, angry about them. It might take me a few minutes to see through. But I get there. I mean, I had an instance this morning at the grocery store even. But what I really wanted to share was a wonderful example. Last week after Satsang, I was so inspired. A neighbor of mine in my apartment, who I love dearly, had gotten really angry at me for something I didn't do. She projected it. And my first response was, I was irritated. I said, I didn't do that. Anyway, okay. Then she stopped speaking to me, which is a little challenging because I see her all the time and she would bury her head or, whatever. But after last satsang, I wrote her a text and I said, I'm seeing your heart. It's so beautiful. It's like the sun. It's shining. And I meant it from the bottom of my being.
I'm sure you did.
I didn't have an expectation. I said, she can keep not talking to me. I'm going to send her this at least every Sunday and tell her this. But it melted her heart and helped her let go of whatever she was holding on to. And so she started talking to me again and texting me. We have an arrangement where she's supposed to text me every morning. And if I don't respond, she'll come upstairs and check to see that I'm okay just because I'm older. Anyway, I just thought that was so tough. But it can happen any moment. Like this morning, it's a very small example. I was at Mom's grocery store where we have poster of your coming postcards. And there on top of your poster, people had put all these things covering it. And I felt sad about it because I take so much time making sure if I move anything, there's people's spaces there. So but I just had to let myself feel a little bit sad about that. But then, okay, they have that same beautiful heart. And I think the term you used to use, every word that you convey is really about our seeing through, having transparent eyes, seeing through to who people truly are. And I love that term, transparency. I was talking about it yesterday in our meditation gathering. And obviously, for me, watching my breath at my nose is the thing that helps me most to see through. And it's like the 63rd song, the primal light shines through the darkest or the densest matter. So this applies even to people that are, in my mind, doing some pretty nasty things on the planet right now. But it helps me. You so inspire me. I can't tell you to just keep going to their heart. That's what I wanted to share.
Well, you go to your heart. Go to your heart and you'll see.
Yeah,
because there are some people on the planet who are not doing very well, Adi, and making a lot of mess and are angry and are imbalanced and are... There's a lot of problem on the planet caused by human beings. Here we are. But when you look through your heart, when you are seeing as the Rishi saw, rooted in your heart, then you see differently. And you don't have to excuse people for doing really violent and hard things. You just see, I would suggest that you just see God's creation as perfect.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that, you take up all the room on the news board, then they're bound to put cards over the picture. And I'm not so crazy about posters going around the town anyhow, but that's up to you guys.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's like you were talking before, discerning. I know people are doing some really what I would call evil things. So I don't ignore that. You say discern. It's that's just so clear to me that everyone has a beautiful heart. It's just
they do.
Covered up.
They do. They do. It's either exposed or exposing, coming to be visible, or covered up with all kinds of mental and emotional imbalances.
Yeah, what's really neat is clear that it's, like you say, it's just
go ahead, Adi, please.
Identifying with some crazy idea, you know.
That's why spirituality is always clearing the mind. Do you have a copy of the 63rd song? Because I need a copy of it. And yeah. You send it on over. They call it in that 63rd song. I forget whose 63rd song it is. Is it Lao Tzu?
Yes.
Hmm? Yeah.
Yes.
Mental hygiene. Mm-hmm. No?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, so all of spirituality is to release thought. All of it.
Yep.
Just to see what that's like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I like how they say on the 63rd song, the basic goodness. A lot of people have trouble with that. But it's,
well, why would they have trouble with that, Adi?
I don't know. They have certain ideas about goodness.
There you go. They have certain ideas.
Right.
It is a gift.
Mm-hmm. There it is.
So thank you from the bottom of my heart and to the whole Sangha too for all the contributions every week.
Thank you too, Adi. See you real soon.
Yep. Our great fortune.
Yeah, me and Indra too, I tell you, and Sahara. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you, Adi.
Thank you.
Rahasya.
Namaste, Shantimai.
Namaste, how are you?
I'm actually really good.
You're in California, aren't you?
I'm in California, and I'm going to come to Baltimore.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a wonderful seeing through ideas and a releasing of tensions happening. And the habit of thinking a personality is still going on. And
well, why don't you stop that?
Yeah, that I knew if I talked to you, it would be very direct. And yes.
Well, wait a minute. Do you want me to cut corners and do you want me to go in circles or?
No.
I think direct is really good. I think it's, I don't know if it's good or bad, but it works really well. Go ahead, please.
Well, the question you just asked is, I almost want to say enough because it's alive. Like it's something that I can ask over and over as a way to stop the identification with who I think I am. And
well, who do you think you are?
I notice when I talk to people sometimes, I have a personality and then I think about who I am and it's a habit and...
No. That's not the question.
Okay.
Who do you think you are?
um, who I think I am, who I think I am isn't who I am.
Who do you think you are? It's an interesting day because I've had to ask the same question three or four times, a few times today.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Let's look at that.
Hmm. Well, it changes with thought.
That's true.
And so...
Basic premise. Let's look at the basic premise. Who do you think you are? You think you're a nice person?
Sometimes.
That's probably true most of the time.
Yeah, probably.
I would say that that's true all of the time.
Right. I agree.
So, yeah. And what else do you think about who you are?
Sometimes there are thoughts of...
Kind of, they're in their own looking at who they think they are. It's a really tough question to answer. It's a very tough question to answer because, like you say, it changes. What is the unchanging presence within you?
That's
that has gone through the birth, through the youth, through the teenage years, through the young adulthood, but has not changed.
I can say I've seen that, or that reality has made itself known in me. I don't know how to say it exactly. And then I came to you now to further along this. What am I trying to say? Yeah, just the doubts that come up. I'm tired of them.
Well, like what doubts do you have? Let's be specific so that we can really see what we're talking
about. Sure, sure. There'll be a scene like through the heart, like that this world, everything that happens, it seems like it happens and then it's gone. So that's...
Hold on. That's true. Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah.
Not only seems, that's 100% actual, not just a seeming.
Okay.
That is 100% true. Okay, so there, that's good. Go ahead.
So to bother myself or to engage in ruminating about something that appears and is present and felt and then it dissipates. So... that seems like a useless time, useless way to use my time on this planet.
What would you replace it with?
Breathing, just the wonder of what's before me. Like, it's so like a tree. It's amazing. I mean, just the fact we can use our fingers and... the fact that people can forgive and that something that seemed really hard can no longer be hard. And that's just so beautiful.
It is beautiful. And you need to eat breakfast and you need to go to work and you need to make your bed and you need to take baths and do the normal kind of functioning of life while your eyes are becoming clearer and clearer and clearer.
I know, and I think there's, you know, even those simple things, sometimes I could get ideas about that, like what's the perfect food, you know, just to simplify to...
So American.
It is. It really is.
So overly American, over the top.
I know.
Everything has to be, everything has to be right. Everything has to be, you know. And I mean, it's a nice quality too. It's got both sides.
Right, 100%.
But when it becomes when it becomes insidiously habitual, and one can't not do without it, then it becomes a bit of an obsession.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you know what I see there, Rahasya. What a wonderful name for you, Rahasya. Means the forever secret. Mm-hmm. My only concern about this idea that all the food has to be right and the vitamins have to be right. I mean, I take how many supplements a day? It's so American. And I think that has to do with attempting to if we're eating the right food and we're being the right way and we're exercising in the right way and we have the right mate and our house is perfectly fine and we have a status and everybody should respect us and la, 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 la. It's another building of illusion. Why are we not perfectly fine the way we are? We make some error, okay, we're not so kind, or we are a little dismissive or something else like that. Well, okay, that's life. But why do we have to always make ourselves more perfect than we are? And what I mean by perfect is we're fine as we are. And we need only to strip away those ideas that we're not. Be happy as much as is possible for you. When those ideas are no longer dominating your life, you will be happy. And all of the perfection that we're looking for, the right clothing, the right house, the right food, the right vitamins, the right whatever it is. Huh? And those are nice things. They shouldn't be dismissed. But they should not define us. I am not my house. I am not my vitamins. I am not the perfect food. Those are wonderful, wonderful possibilities, but they're not. I think when the knot gets tied, it's when we define ourselves by those things. And we just keep looking for those things to make us right with ourselves. And that everybody should see them. And everybody should know that we're eating the right food. And everybody should know that we have the right clothing. And everything should be... And it never ends, actually. And the real problem is when it begins to define us. Because we can never get enough. We can never get enough. You can see that in the United States. You can never get enough. Well, the United States is settled by Europeans. The Europeans always look like, oh, those Americans are so nutty. But that, we're their ancestors, so. Again, breathe away any idea that you have to invest yourself in and believe in to make yourself something that you're not.
It's very complicated. Really, silence is wonderful. Because there is no, all of that, all of those ideas just put, and you can see that you are free of them any moment. That's the beauty of silence, is that you can see that it washes off of you. Any moment. And what are you left with? Know that you have to find out yourself. Usually, at least, you have peace, which I think is one of the most marvelous jewels of life. I don't know why, well, I think I do know why people attempt to build themselves around what they have and what they should have and how it's, how people have to see them and so like that. Advertising and trends and caring about what other people think. Sometimes we do, and sometimes that's fine, and sometimes we just don't. Because if we cared what everybody thought, boy, we'd be a mess. I think politics is showing that right now, no? That let it dissolve in front of you and just continue to eradicate ideas that are not beneficial to you in a real sense, in a really deep sense, bringing forth what you cannot speak about. I love what, when I said, well, what do you see yourself as? And you couldn't come up with anything. I thought that was really wonderful.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's all to free yourself from the way that you think about yourself and your life and your world. This was last week. I noticed that our attendance is down a little bit this week. And I figure it is because I asked someone to stop complaining, you know, and they may have felt that they were embarrassed or something like that. But you know what? You have to stop complaining about yourself. You just have to stop it. And when you stop complaining about yourself, you'll pretty much be very tolerant for others. And you won't really care what they think. But self-negation is really, it's extremely harmful. And self-aggrandizing is also very harmful. To be able to hear what is really marvelous in you, and to be able to hear that something also may be off a little bit at some time, you know, is really important. We should be able to hear it. We should be able to hear it. And people are very uncomfortable with that, and yet they complain to themselves. And when you tell them to stop it, oh, I'm embarrassed. Well, I can understand that to some degree, but stop complaining about yourself. Stop harming yourself. Stop mentally imbalancing yourself. Stop complaining about your life. be happy. So that's accomplished in silence.
Like the question you asked me?
Yes.
Who do I think I am? I have ideas about it. There can be times I have ideas about everyone, including you. And now I'm seeing how there's this loosening here. I don't know the word. And I'm finally hearing, like, what you're saying is in service to my heart. So to have some ideas.
Always.
Our hearts. And so,
absolutely.
Yeah. That's liberating to drop any idea about, I want a guru that hugs every, whatever. Like, you're here, you're in service to our
heart. You ought to go get a guru who hugs. You ought to go get a guru who will agree with you all the time. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about whoever wants to do that. Mm-hmm. By all means, I would seriously suggest that that occur.
Mm.
I think that would be great. You should get a master who will do exactly what you want him to do. Do you remember the story of the farmer who he said, well, I think that I can probably grow crops better than God, but I need God's help a little bit. Maybe if I could just govern God for a season, it'd work really well. So God agreed. Okay. So he said, in the spring, let's make it no surprise frost, none of that. No. And the rain should come very soft on the new buds. God said, okay. And the farmer said to God again, he said, well, now it can't be too hot, and we can't be having any drought now. And the rains have to fall exactly right, best in the evening, so the crops can remain cool and damp through the night. And God said, all right. Mm-hmm. And so As the harvest came, he said, well, now this is the last system right here, where we have the last stages of this. You listen to me story. And now we're going to, in the harvest time, everything will grow very flavorful and very fruitful and very beautiful and very marvelous, and that is how it has to be. And God said, let us see. So the harvest came, and this man had wheat that grew as big as a house, and wheat stalks and wheat like this, and he said, well, there it is, Obviously, God has listened to me. And so he started to crack the wheat. There was no wheat in the stalk. And he cracked another one, and there was no wheat in the stalk. And he cracked another one, there was no wheat in the stalk. And he went through his entire field. And he was really angry with God. I told you everything what to do. You did it, but something went wrong with you. And God said, no challenge, no strength. No substance. So he wasted a whole season. Mm-hmm. You have to have your challenge, You have to. How will you know what your skill set is if you don't have your challenge? Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry. Well, I'm not really sorry. I'm just saying that I am. I am sorry if I embarrass someone.
But that's really up to you. And I think it's also, I've asked in my soul of souls and the heart of hearts, and I do mean this, that I be more tender, more gentle, more something else in my delivery. And it's just never happened. And I wanted it more than anything. And I was willing for it to change. But then it just never has happened. So if people want to stay, they can stay. If they want to go, they can go. That's the way it always is. And I don't mean to hurt anyone. It's like you say, it's out of service that I would say to you, who are you really? Who do you think you are, and who are you truly? Cease complaining about your life. Cease complaining about yourself. Cease hurting yourself. Cease harming yourself. Cease aggrandizing yourself. Cease putting yourself down. Stop it. You'll live a much happier life. There's no question about it. You will not be confused. Who cares what anybody thinks? Are you living the way that you feel that you should be living? I'm asking you. Is that a yes? Is this a yes or no? Is it a yes?
Yes, I see.
Well, you're not real sure because you keep saying, you keep acting like it's not 100%. You get to 100%. Where you feel perfectly fine with who you are in your life, and find out who you are throughout all of life, fundamentally at the base, where silence is the language, love is the view, and it starts at home. I want to say one more thing before I go on. In the last Huang Po transmission, which I created yesterday, it needs to be edited. And this part is coming in because there's a young woman, I think she's 18, and her name is, I believe, Putra Ariani. And Putra Ariani is a blind Muslim young woman. And it's really interesting because she doesn't have to strip down to next to nothing and shake all over the place to sing beautifully. She's covered up in a Muslim way. And I don't know if you have to do that, but I know you don't have to strip down to nothing to sing like an angel. So that's the one thing. And she was very much covered like a Muslim young woman would be, but her voice is absolutely stunning. And she's blind. And she says about herself, I am beautiful. I am magnificent. I can do anything that I set out to do. I am capable. I am smart. And, you know, the thing is, she wasn't saying any of that to uplift herself. She saw what was really available to her. And she was quite humble in saying so. And she will shine like a star going through life. And she had no pride in it. It was just who she is. And you are that too. And why you don't, you know, she went the beauty way from the inside out and she can't see. She's been blind since birth. But she knows she is magnificent, capable. She never doubted. And it's not something that she puts on herself like signs. I'm beautiful, I'm capable. She went the beauty way from the inside out and she can't see. So what would happen if you saw the finer qualities that life has brought into your
your entire life just by being, having a body and an existence and a time on earth? What if you didn't doubt yourself at all? What if you didn't have to doubt or undoubt? What if that whole thing was trashed? Huh? And then even when you saw that this, whatever Huang Po says or the Beauty Way says or Shanti Maya says or whoever says whatever says, when you see, truly see, you will see that beauty in everyone. And you'll still see the rancor mess that the world is. But because you see it in yourself, as your being, not as what you need to be, not as what you're going to be, not as what you're going to become, but what you truly are in life, is a beautiful, capable, intelligent, and magnificent creation of God. Then you begin to see, well, that is actually so in everyone, whether they see it or not. I am not damaged goods, and I am not going to go further in my life, 1 minute further in my life, damaging myself by doubting and belittling myself and complaining about myself to me, because that is the way that I move through life, unsure. And then what is fundamental to all of that? The great silence of God's creation, flowing, consistently flowing. And as you say, Rahasya, completely here and gone, here and gone, here and gone, here and gone. That's why I say to you, why not just get on with it? You have a new moment every minute. And when you see brightly, I would say it just comes down to seeing that I am a creation of a divine mystery that no one can figure out. And I don't know what I have to be that. I am that. And that's what I would always be anyhow, no matter what I say, no matter how I feel, no matter what I... No matter what. I can't even find another no matter what. So all of these ideas about what I am and how I need to be like this and people need to see me like this and I have to... If they don't see me like this, they don't confirm my idea about myself. I need them to confirm that I'm okay with me. Do you? I'm putting it out so people will appreciate me. Well, they'll appreciate you anyhow. At least those who appreciate God's creation will always appreciate you. But who cares whether you're appreciated or not? Will you appreciate you? Don't depend on anyone else to appreciate you. It's like Rahasya said, sometimes I have ideas good and bad about you. Well, okay. What to do about that? I don't feel cut. I don't feel hit. I don't feel anything about it. You know, as a matter of fact, if you wanted a guru who hugged you and did perfect things in your behalf and your ideas, I would say, I'll help you find one. Yeah. You're right. I'm pretty direct. I'm pretty tough. So there it is.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah. Putra Ariani. America's Got Talent. Amazing. Amazing young woman. But she didn't say that on America's Got Talent. She didn't say, I'm this and I'm that and I'm that. You have to look it up to find it. The beauty way from the inside out.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. By a young blonde, blind woman. Be inspired. Inspire.
Mm-hmm.
Expire.
Mm-hmm.
Inspire. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm gonna move on. Namaste. I'll see you in Baltimore. That'll be wonderful.
I'm excited.
Me too. Hello, Michael.
Hello. This wonderful question, who are you, is really, what it does to me is, in one split second, I realize it cannot be answered by the mind at all. So it paralyzes, and then in that split second, I am what I am. That's quote. So it's kind of also a really healing experience. Because every time that happens, I get kind of healed by the universe. So I was thinking, I used to say to people, if they complain and all that, don't forget that any human is created by the same creator, built by the same status. And if you doubt it, and any, this has created wrong people, I mean, only perfect copies. And if you doubt about that, then look around and see, can you see any copies? No, no copies. So you are unique. And that's, I guess that's important for people to realize, I am unique. There's no copies. And also this, I love this story with the blind, but I'm going to see that because we always seem to look outwards and try to grab happiness from outside and shuffle it in. And that's just like eating chocolate with the paper wrapped around it. We never get into the chocolate. And the more we get, the more new chocolate we need all the time. So she's forced to look inside and only inside. And that's where the wisdom is. I mean, so, I mean, that's a very simple recipe for people. Just turn around and look inside. You got all of it inside. And then you may find the exact reason why you are here at this specific time of this planet's history, because you, there is a reason, and you will never realize it if you don't look inside. And mm-hmm. I mean, that's really wonderful. And also, it's just like, I mean, that's what Huang Po does to me when I read it. I mean, that's what he does.
He's a pretty sharp razor.
Yeah, it's wonderful. I mean, and the mudras are doing the same, actually, because they, each of them has their own capacity. And when I do the mudras, it's just like time ceases to exist from my mind. And
that's
also,
isn't it?
Yeah. And also, I focus on the description of the capacity of each mudra. And sometimes I really can feel it in my body. Sometimes I cannot, but I know it works. I know it works.
Oh yeah, absolutely. They're very ancient. They just found that Jesus was in his mudra in the Shroud of Turin. Did you see that? They just discovered his hand was in mudra.
Yeah,
You saw that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and mudras are so many. Also, the Buddhas, they're all over the mudras. And I'm so grateful for this process you have initiated with the Gayatri Mantra and the Yantra and the mudras, because it's really, really, really it's deepening everything, and that's so wonderful. I'm just so grateful for that.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you, too. Thank you, too, Michael. Gilad?
Hello, Shanti Mai.
Hello, Gilad. How are you?
Very good. I would, first of all, thank you very much for the Sangha.
Are you going to be in India? Will you come to India, Gilad?
I will come to India.
Okay.
And I was in February, in March, April also in India. Yes, I'm coming. I'm happy to come. I would like if I can get some guidance from you. I will try to put a few small points that I experienced. I have some feeling that there is no time, that I need to go to continue my journey. It's urgent, but it's not urgent from the brain point of view. This is one thing that I feel very strong all the last time, lately. I also, from time to time, I never see TV and news in the last 12 years or more, but lately I listen from time to time very little about things that are not so nice happening or moving to happen, all this, just to...
You're leaving that sphere. That's happening for a lot of people. No longer do they want to hear the lies and the nonsense and the harshness and the violence and the confusion. They want to live their life in peace. And I think that is wonderful.
And I built in my flat a room for meditation, and I was sitting there maybe 1 month ago for meditation. In all the COVID time, it was very difficult to me to sit. I tried, but somehow it was difficult to me. However, now it's good. I make a pranayama exercise and a few other things. And when I was sitting, first time I felt that all the room, that all the flat, that me, everything become one. I was there not long time. I didn't understand what happening. I even maybe had some fear, scared a little bit from this feeling. And then it's finish or move. And the last thing is that somehow I'm not sure how to continue with my practice or my activity. I don't know if to call it activity. For this, I ask some guidance.
Well, for one thing, your room never did become one. You actually saw it for what it has always been. There's no becoming. There is seeing as it truly is. And when you see that there is an inseparability in your perception, it's what you're seeing things as they have always been and always will be. And that's wonderful. So I would delete the term become. You saw it for what it truly is and always has been. Yes, I hesitate to offer sadhanas, although I will. I still hesitate to do that because I feel the person really knows what they need. Sometimes they need a break from meditation, maybe walking down the road, I say, or being with a friend. And really being present is enough meditation. And that's a powerful meditation in itself because people are oftentimes not where they are. I would say being present is really important. My view is that that's how you saw the way things have always been and always shall be, in the inseparability of your experience, is because you were present. Not somewhere else, not wondering what time it was, not wondering if the washing needs to be done, not wondering if the food has to happen, not wondering where your friends are, not wondering what you're going to do tomorrow, not lamenting the past, but here. My view is that is, although I see all sadhanas as perfect, the perfect sadhana for you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Be where you are. I mean, we our whole lives, not where we are. Namaste. I'll see you in India.
Yes.
Namaste. Okay, Nora, Arjuna, and Kirk, and then we will close. Nora, Arjuna.
Hi, Shanti Mai.
Namaste.
Namaste. The other day, I was listening to an interview Jivanjali did with Maharaji. And he was speaking about his realization. And let me quote, he said, when I got realization...
Wait a minute. What? I didn't get the last part because you froze a little bit.
He spoke
so
about...
You were listening. Let me finish just to get that part that I didn't get. You were listening to an interview with Jivanjali and Maharaji, and he said...
He was speaking about his realization.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And let me quote. He said, when I got realization, my guru told me how to give other people power inside, just like Shaktipat.
Yes.
So, Shaktipat.
Yes. He stopped that, by the way. He stopped that because a man started stuttering and couldn't stop stuttering, and he went out in the middle of the... He went out in the middle of the town in his underwear and started singing Hare Krishna. Maharaji never gave Shaktipat again.
He didn't give Shaktipat to you?
Well, there was a transfer. There was a transference, but Maharaji was very, very, very gentle. And sometimes the Shakti would transfer because my head went to the feet. I actually got a Shaktipat from Nityananda Maharaj when I gave pranam to his sandals. So there's something about you in a receptive manner, and there's something, you know, do you remember me saying to you, I think not just to you, but to the Sangha, that I asked Maharaji how it works. I asked Maharaji, I said, Maharaji, how does it work? And he said, nobody knows. Good. Good. And even if Baba told him how it works, Maharaji stopped it because he felt he harmed someone in transferring too much Shakti at one time. Mm-hmm. He never, ever, ever, ever gave Shaktipat outwardly again. And he also got a little tired of people coming for that. Money, a boy child, job, Shaktipat. Marriage. You have to put marriage in there, little boy.
And what about you? I mean... Could you transfer Shaktipat if you wanted, or is that like something that is completely out of your...
I think that's happening on its own. I feel it happens on its own. I'm not interested in manipulating anybody's energy.
However, I do feel that that undividable energy does go through us together sometimes. But I have no intention of manipulating anyone's energy, period.
So you consider that manipulation then?
Well, manipulation doesn't always mean bad.
I mean, it's a colonizing, right?
Yeah, yeah. Hold on. It's good to see you.
Yeah, likewise.
Okay, so one. Hold on. I'm going to the dictionary. Manipulate, handle or control in a skillful manner, to alter, to edit or move. Examine or treat by feeling or moving it with the hand. So manipulation doesn't always mean, you know, like the spiritual people think that you're making something happen out here that nobody wants to happen. Manipulation means anything that's moved, you have manipulated it.
I thought the world could need some Shaktipat just to wake up.
I know that Guru Mai also was a Shaktipat guru. It's still in our lineage. It'll always be in the lineage. It'll always be kind of a thread that's woven in there. I remember Guru Mai was a Shaktipat guru. I think she got tired of it.
I don't know.
Shaktipat. Oh, so Karen's asking, what is Shaktipat? Shaktipat is a very pure energy that moves from the master to the disciple, to the master within the disciple, really, because there's only the master, really, within you, within me, and everybody is moving in that way to skillfully master their life. Is that not true? Right. So there is an energy field that can be like that. And if you're receptive, it's like a warm day in the summer or in the spring where seeds pop. Mm-hmm. And it's given. There's a few times I had very major Shaktipat from Maharaji, but I'm not sure that he ever intended it at all. It just moves between us, that's all. Yeah. Like that. And heart to heart, Nora Arjuna, I would say that when that profound and simple love is felt between two people, Shaktipat occurs. But I've never been into the cities very much. A lot of things I have very interested in. Mostly I would say that I don't like to title myself at all. I don't like to do that. I'm not into it. I don't want to say. No. I've been pretty there as much as is possible. And when I'm not there, I get back there. This has been my good fortune. This is what my guru revealed to me. So that's what's happening. And I like to see that others are doing the same because they say, and they come to say that they are, in their own way, coming to that. And when they go off, they go off. So what? So what? Get back. You go off. So what? Get back. Don't start demeaning yourself. Don't start hurting yourself. Don't start anything to yourself. Just get back to where you can see with your eyes very clearly God's creation and everything and everyone. And it doesn't have to look like you want it to look, by the way, or how you have created that it should be. It is before.
You're frozen.
As it is.
Well. I also feel that it's kind of like happening by...
Go ahead. You're frozen too, but it keeps...
I also feel it's happening by itself. Last night I had this experience. I woke up and I had the feeling, okay, it's time now. I remembered this moment. Do you remember this moment when I told you the night was so dark and it was like I almost could like... Okay, that was last night again. And at the same time, I had two bats flying in my room. And they stand for transformation. I just looked it up. So it was kind of like, you know, the universe gives me the signs I need in order to realize that it is happening.
I have all kinds of faith in the possibilities that you represent, Nora Arjuna. I have full faith in your ability to move into your heart and find out what living in that palace is like.
Yeah. What else? I mean, really, what else?
Yeah, nothing else. That's what. I'm going to go on. Because it's a long satsang. I thought it was going to be very short, but it's turned out to be quite long, and I'm happy with that. I'm happy with whatever it is.
Let me know if that what I sent did arrive on time. You will see.
Write to me more clearly about it, please.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah, I want to address it, but I'm not sure that I understand it well, and I feel like
well, I send something, and you know, I
okay. Hope so write to me.
Namaste, Shantimai. Thank you.
You're welcome, Kirk.
Namaste,
Kirk Douglas. I just know that your mother named you after Kirk Douglas. I just know that.
It was either Kirk or Mark, and I guess for a while I thought Mark would be better, but now I'm happy with how that turned out. I, you know. So, while you were speaking, this question that was in earlier in the satsang, this question of not me, but anybody asking the question of who am I, or what is it in my mind that thinks who I am? And so in a flash,
he froze.
In a flash.
Keep going, because when you freeze, it somehow picks up where you left off. I don't know how it works like that, but it's doing
okay.
It.
Okay. So, flash, it retraced back to the very early days when I asked the question myself of who I am. And so that whole journey in a lightning bolt, played out in front of me, and I just, the short realization was that is it that question that leads you to the understanding of exactly who I am.
Yes.
That's all I...
Yes, it is. I thought, that's so, the key. That's the key element.
Interestingly profound, so...
Yeah. Yeah. And there's nothing you can say about it, and everything that you say about it has to be totally erased.
Exactly.
So there is... profound and simple and clear understanding when one is willing to be who one is rather than one who than rather than who one thinks one is. And all of those who one thinks one is, gee.
Beautiful, though.
Well, it's a beautiful journey. There's no doubt about it.
That's it for me.
I love you.
Love
I'll
you
see
too.
You in Baltimore. Indra's coming to Baltimore, too. So you'll see.
I just felt like I brushed up against him and I was wondering what the conversation might be, you know?
Uh-huh. Well, you'll see him, so we'll have time.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll all go out for a coffee or something. Maybe fantastic. Beer.
Namaste.
Namaste. Next week, there will be no satsang because I'll be on the airplane going to the United States to visit my family that I haven't seen for a long time, to visit Amrita and Mike, who I haven't seen for a long time, to, yes, it'll be, I'll be on the airplane. So I will likely put a transmission, post a transmission up. And yes. Namaste.
Shri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram. 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 Shri Ram, Jai Ram, Ramo Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ramo Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram Shri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai.
Thank you, Peter, and everyone at Satcha Mandir. That concludes Satsang for today. We'll see everyone in 2 weeks' time. God bless. Namaskar.